Did Dave say why he wants to meet us in the storeroom?
Don't know. All he said is he got something really big to show us for February.
Whatever. As long as it isn't my turn to do inventory again. You see, he brought in 10,000 pounds of salmon last week.
10,000 pounds? Where the hell did he get the money for all that?
I don't know, but I'm guessing that's another Christmas bonus down the drain this year.
Hello? Dave? Where are you?
Yeah, why are all the lights off?
Whoa, what the hell was that?
Dave? Dave? This isn't funny. Turn the lights on already. Okay, enough is enough. I'm out of here. Oh, it's just Dave.
What the hell?
Hey, Grace, what do you think?
What?
One second.
Dave, when the hell did you put in a giant water tank?
A few days ago. I just finished filling it up this morning. I want this baby good and ready for our star attraction this month.
Our star attraction?
Yeah, don't you remember? February this year is Feb Whalery. We're watching all whale-related movies this month. And I figured... Sorry, it's cold. I figured, what better way to drum up excitement for a whale promotion than by getting an honest-to-God killer whale in the store as an attraction?
But that's horrible, Dave.
Yeah, I haven't seen that documentary, Blackfish.
Or Free Willy?
Well, no. But it just so happens Free Willy is the first film on our February docket. I'm assuming it's a lovable tale about a killer whale who becomes a star attraction at a fledgling aquarium or something. And he ends up saving the business and everyone lives happily ever after, right?
No, you idiot. It's about Michael Jackson.
Dave, tell me you haven't gotten that whale yet.
Not yet. He's due to be dropped off in a couple days. But I did get the salmon shipment in. 10,000 pounds. And I got a sweet deal.
And that's another thing. I thought these theme months were supposed to make us money, Dave.
And they will. But we just need to bring in the customers first to make that bank.
I can't even. Ryan. You?
Okay, Dave. First, we're gonna have a little talk about blowing the store's budget on silly animal promotions again. Okay?
But I...
No, no, Dave. The adults are talking. Then we're gonna have to sit down and watch Free Willy so you can understand why killer whales shouldn't be kept in captivity. Okay?
Okay. But before we do, can I ask you guys a favor?
Sure. What is it?
This is a little embarrassing, but can you guys feed me?
I... What?
Just rub his tongue a little bit, you know? He likes that. He likes it.
You want us to feed you like a whale? Ryan, what if we just drowned ourselves right here, right now?
Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to Apocalypse Video's look at the gentle giants of the sea. Whales. All month long, we'll be discussing everything from augers... to humpback whales, as well as a special once-in-a-lifetime look at one of the rarest whale species on the planet.
So this is what the multiverse looks like!
Oh. This is February. In this first installment, we will be covering, perhaps, the most popular whale in the public consciousness. The orca. otherwise known as the killer whale. But not all orcas behave like their infamous moniker. Some are gentle giants. Case in point, tonight's subject, Willy. A performer for years before his eventual debut in Hollywood, Willy is perhaps the most popular killer whale in the world. Though his true life story is not as hopeful as his motion picture alter ego. On tonight's episode, we'll discuss Willy, his time in Hollywood, and the sad conclusion to his story, which serves as a wake-up call and a plea to end the domestication of these magnificent creatures. We bring you Free Willy.
Imagine if the world you lived in, the space you breathed in, and the freedom you played in was suddenly taken away. Imagine if the only person who knew how you felt was a boy who felt it too.
You really like him, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
In a world where beauty is held captive.
Miss your family?
It takes a special friend.
Willy doesn't have a problem with me. Yeah. We appreciate each other.
Looks like Willy's got himself a soulmate.
To set you free.
What's the matter?
Whale's still not performing. We're getting deeper into this.
He was too big and too old to be caught in the first place.
The whale's worth more dead than alive.
They tried to kill him.
Warner Brothers proudly presents...
Let's Free Willy. He's got a family out there. I heard him.
The most unexpected friendship of the year.
I gotta look out for Willy, and I gotta do what's best for him. Understand?
If we don't get Willy into water soon, he's gonna die. Nobody steals a whale.
We gotta hurry! He's not doing so good!
Don't let that whale get away!
Go, Willy, go!
The greatest adventure of the summer. Free Willy.
All right. After having watched Free Willy, I guess you guys are right. You shouldn't keep a killer whale in captivity. And honestly, you probably shouldn't just keep any big mammals or anything like that in captivity to do stupid tricks like wave your fin. It's fucked up, and I'm sorry. I will put a stop on delivery. I will return it to the sea. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, the only people that should be kept in captivity like that are store clerks.
Yes. Specifically store managers. I'm your host, Dave, and I'm giving you my guarantee that we will not be having a killer whale in the store as a promotion. It's fucked up, as Free Willy has taught me today. I'm joined again by my fellow ocean conservatists, Michael.
What the heck are you doing with my truck and this whale?
Because whales make money, and that's what we're all about.
And I'm also joined by Ryan.
I've been a better rule breaker than a rule maker myself.
I think I just all at home.
Okay, let me ask you guys something. Did you guys think Michael Batson was going to kill that kid at some point?
No, he's from the 40s, you know? He's just like, yeah. You know, it's like, maybe that whale doesn't want to be a performer, you know?
Do you guys think he was miscast?
No, I think he was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he's great, but I just realized, like, he's... Like, his vibe is just like he's from the 40s, you know?
His vibe is murderer. Yeah. There's a one point where he says, like, they have an argument, and then he tells a kid, look, I'm not going to hurt you. That's because everyone's thinking it.
I heard you guys fighting. It scared me.
Jesse, adults argue sometimes, but that doesn't mean that anybody's gonna get hurt. I would never hurt Annie. Or you. You should know that.
I know.
I know there was a funny bit, like the parents have an argument, or the foster parents, you know, have an argument, yeah. And the kid is upset. I thought the kid was upset because he thought they were gonna get rid of him, but he comes up, yeah, it is funny. He's like, "Hey kid, I just want to let you know, I'm not gonna beat you." Like, what? No one was thinking that.
I know. I think he was.
Well, I think we're just getting a glimpse into, you know, both their pasts.
I do like that the Michael Madsen character is like, he's like the kid, you know, and just like Willie, they're all the same.
I will say there are two people. Well, I guess not two people. Michael Madsen is definitely cast against type in this movie. And I would say that this isn't cast against type, but he brings too strong an evil presence, the wrong kind of evil presence.
I think
presence.
It's just enough. I think
Michael
it's
Ironside as the villain. He's too, his look is too, he doesn't bring the type of evil that this movie requires of him, which is like the douchey rich guy. He brings serial killer energy.
May be able to turn this around after all.
It'll cost us to set up a show.
So what? We let the kid work up a presentation. It catches on. And we're back on track, just like we planned. The Willie Show. It'll make money. And that, my friend, is what we are all about.
I think Michael Ironside is bringing Columbo villain.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is the wheelhouse that he is playing. Like,
we're going to kill the fish and collect the insurance money.
Yeah, he is. I was going to say, it's like he should have committed murder in this, but he kind of did try to.
Do you think that his stuff was maybe like cut out or something? I feel like there's like less, there's a little bit of hints, but there's not like a lot of the other guys throughout the movie until the last half an hour.
You do get that great cut to him when he's in his own house and he's just
robe.
Just comic rich guy stuff. It's pretty good. Yeah.
I would say, I think we get, for what those characters are, the bad guys, like we get enough of them.
Yeah,
they're,
I guess,
pretty
so.
Two-dimensional. Yeah. I think what we don't get enough of is the parents and like the home life with the foster family. Like, they're barely in this movie.
I think we get enough. I think this movie's too long. Like, I would trim like 10 minutes from this movie.
Really? Okay. I didn't feel that, but I did get the distinct sense that, like, we didn't. All right, let's get into the movie so we can get to the point I want to address. So, Free Willy, if I had seen this, this is one of those cases where I saw it as a little child and I do not remember anything from it. Essentially, this is my first time watching
it. I'm pretty confident I never saw it.
That's wild, you guys. That's so crazy.
I know it's a big movie.
I did, though, see in an elementary school assembly. I have a strong memory of watching, like, I don't think this was the point of the assembly, but I remember at some point it was like, all right, everybody, we're all, like, the whole elementary school is there, and it's like, we're all going to watch the Michael Jackson music video with the Free Willy thing. And I remember thinking, like, that was really cool. But I was more of a dolphin kid than a whale kid, so
they're,
I think,
part of the same,
I think,
family.
I was
these
watching
whales.
I know at the time I didn't, you know, it was like a Sonic and Mario thing at the time, you know, like one or the other.
I was a dolphin kid, not a killer whale kid.
You know, I didn't realize, you know, you could love both Sonic and Mario as an
what
adult,
do you guys,
you know,
think of the 90s, like, do you think there were more of those like purpley pink colored dolphin shirts or purpley pink colored orca shirts?
I don't know. You know, well, so
it was about even.
So I was watching, I think it might have been a little bit later than this, but I was watching Flipper instead of Free Willy. So, but yeah, I think this is my first time seeing it again, unless I saw it when I was so young, I just don't remember it at all. But I don't think I ever did.
My big experience with this type of thing was Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. I was more interested in humpback whales.
Well, what about you, Ryan? Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're wearing a shirt right now that says "Certified Whale Freak."
Yeah. I think
Ryan, I feel like Ryan has a SeaWorld story.
No, I think this movie opened up a lot. I think this movie made me want to be a marine biologist. It made me want to swim with whales. It was
this
a big
movie.
One.
This movie.
This, yeah, I'm sure it's this movie. And yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, was this 1993? I definitely saw this in theaters, and I was like, this might have been one of the first movies I remember, but then I'm like looking, I'm like, oh, there's Jurassic Park was that year. I saw that too.
Super Mario Brothers was this year.
Yeah, so
I'm sure you remember that.
I think this is, yeah, I did, and so I'm thinking maybe this is a year of like, for sure, like, and I'm only six or something, maybe, and I'm like, this is like Ryan at the movies now, you know, like this is the thing, and so like, I went to a lot, and I'm looking at the year, and you're like, oh, I did see this in theaters. And I don't remember, I don't think we had the tape of this, but it was on TV a lot, this movie.
I did go to SeaWorld a lot as a kid because, you know, a lot of family in San Diego and stuff like that. So I did see the live action whales.
Yeah. This made me just go to SeaWorld. I think I drew I think all through elementary school drew whales and killer whales and stuff.
You wanted to be Lori Petty's character.
Oh, for sure, yeah, and yeah, it didn't realize, like, I'm like, oh, like, I just wanted to be with her in this movie, you know, I guess. But then she does drop the, like, you know, I'm not a lesbian, you know, in the dialogue. She's like, my boyfriend, Charlie, boyfriend.
Do you think something in this movie planted some Portland seed? Because I mean, not to, like, get into it, but, like, I didn't realize this was going to be such a, I guess they combine Portland and Astoria in this movie.
I think there's three combinations, and I think it's actually, what's interesting about this movie, it's pretty well edited, and then also it is like almost kid slow cinema, which is interesting, because I was thinking about like even movies of this time, because like it's like not bombastic at all for
is
the,
that
for
though
a kids
is that
movie.
Just is that though just the 90s as opposed to like,
I think even in the 2020s you would have stuff that's like, this is acting.
There should have been more wacky. You know what we
There's no wackadoo shit going on.
Yes, yes. There were no whoa moments.
I know. I'm just saying, like, all that stuff feels like with Michael Ironside that would have been cut out. You know what I mean?
When they were driving like the whale, like, you know, the grand finale.
Yes.
9 out of 10 other kid movies would have had it. Whoa!
No, like, you think there'd be, I mean, there's a chase in the beginning when the kids are getting chased out of Burnside Park.
But it feels more grounded.
But I'm saying, like, yeah, like, there's nothing, there's not like an in-between, like, you feel like there'd be a chase in the middle of the movie, but there's not. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's really interesting, like, watching this, like, wow, this is like a, just a slow kind of, like, movie. It's weird.
And
I really,
because again, this is essentially my first time watching this. I like the conceit about how he meets and ends up bonding with the whale. So basically, we begin the movie. What's the character's name?
I don't know. John Connor.
Jesse?
Yeah, it's Jess.
Okay,
yeah, Jesse.
We open with Jesse. He's the kid, and he is essentially like a 1930s street urchin.
I know, it's like, pretty funny.
It's like him and his band of kids, his fellow, like,
they're so dirty.
They literally have filth on their face.
They're stealing food and stuff.
And they're running around.
This is all stuff I don't remember. I would say, like, if going back at it, like the conceit of the movie, like, I remember him in like the tank, you know, like the seeing Willie, like a scary, like, jump scare kind of thing. But all this, the buildup for this and anything with like the family, don't remember one bit. And I think that has to do with just maybe it got cut down on TV or something like that. Or maybe you just don't care. You just, I'm waiting back to the whales, you know? Let's get back to the whales.
Yeah. So he begins, like, he's very much like a 1930s street urchin. Like he's stealing food. He's doing scams. He's like, oh, my mom dropped me off,
like,
but he didn't leave me any money for bus fare.
Literally
home.
The opening shot for like these kids too is like, a very noticeable part of downtown Portland. This is like, you know, back in the before times when I used to work there, this is like blocks. It was startling. I was not expecting this. It's like literally just like a few blocks from where I work. I know this place very well. It's funny. It like looks exactly the same. Like,
yeah. That's why I watched Drugstore Cowboy, was a movie that was 10 years before this, and it looks exactly the same still that it did, like, you know, in the 80s. It's really crazy.
And it was funny too, because like the one I did have one thought where I was like, wow, there's like it's like I guess there's no homeless people in this movie, but I'm like, oh, that's our character is we're following is the
homeless youth.
Oh, wait a minute, for some reason I wanted to jump straight to this, but no, the movie doesn't open with Aladdin, like Street Rat. I don't buy that. It begins in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Montage,
I mean, we get the beautiful shots of the whale.
Hey, you want to cut this stuff? This is like James Cameron not wanting to cut
I don't want to cut this.
Okay.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I have a note in here. I'm like, wow, these... whale shots just keep on going, don't they?
Oh,
It's Dave, pretty beautiful, you know.
I mean, it shot well, but it kind of kept going.
You remember when we were all watching this together, but my reaction when the whale shot came in was immediately to turn it way up because I was like, oh, yeah, let's get immersed in this whale footage.
Well, it's funny because you get these majestic shots of the killer whales in the ocean. It's really well shot. Like, they're just gracefully swimming. Their fins are breaking the water, the sun, and then cut to pervert vision guy watching with binoculars, like, all right, we got some. And this is a moment, again, the villains in this movie are very much like, get these whales, it's crazy. Like, presumably this is just their job, like, they're whalers, but yet they take such devilish glee and like, get them.
Well, it's like back then I think, like, might be trying to say, like, well, normal, like, SeaWorld, like, when they get the whales, they do it nicely, you know? They're not, like,
they
the evil.
Humanely.
But, like, no, that's, like, in real life, this would be, like, the nice SeaWorld people would be stealing.
I mean, they're buying the whale from
the whalers, even though this is presumably their job, is they're like, fuck, go get them,
Get that fish.
I don't know how much I want to hold this against the movie, but it's definitely one of the icky things about the movie is it's like portraying it as like, well, there's good whale catchers and there's bad whale catchers. And these are the bad whale catchers. And like, they shouldn't do this at all.
Which ultimately the movie gets to that at the end where it's like, maybe we shouldn't keep whales in captivity.
Well, yeah,
it's fucked up.
It's a rough go for old Kiko the whale, I'd say. You know, anybody read into it?
I listened for this. There is a podcast called The Good Whale that is done by the Serial and New York Times that did it. It's about Kiko the whale, who is the star of this movie. It's a very sad story, but it's also like not as sad as you might think, and a little more complicated. Long story short, Kaiko did die in 2003 at the age of 27, which is about half as long as whales in the wild live. They usually live to like 50 years old.
This is the sad part. I mean, that's just jumping ahead a little bit. But so basically this movie
spoiler alert, the hero of the movie died at half the his usual life expectancy.
She was in Mexico City at an amusement park, and that's what all the tank stuff is in this movie. It's all in Mexico City.
They shot that in Mexico? That tank is the Mexico tank?
That's in Mexico and stuff. So there's a mixture of things. And so it's like, that's in Mexico, but eventually Kiko got brought up to Oregon to the Oregon Aquarium after Free Willy, you know,
yeah,
and stuff.
And
like
that was
a whole
like,
thing to save to release the whale.
Well, they were trying to like rehab Kiko there. And they kind of like what the problem was. So listening to this podcast, the thing was they kind of. So first off, Kiko was like dying in the Mexico amusement park, and part of it was just too warm, like the water was too warm. They weren't even using like seawater for the tank, so when they brought Kaiko to the it was in Newport. It was like a nice facility. One of the like big things is, you know, it was like all really good intention. Like, they weren't, people could see Kaiko, but there was no shows or anything. It was just like you could go into an aquarium and look at.
They have sea lions in the tank now.
They spent the time with him doing like rehab, basically. And the idea was to like release him into the wild. And he kind of like the way the story, the podcast kind of puts it is like Kaiko did in a lot of ways start to thrive there. Like Kaiko gained like, in the first few months of being in the Oregon tank, Keiko gained 10,000 pounds or like some insane, or maybe it's 2,000 pounds, but some like insane amount of weight because he was like underfed. You know, improved a lot of like metrics and everything. Started doing like whale sounds again, because that was the other thing, is like Keiko wasn't even doing like whale sounds. Like one of the things it was saying is one of the vocalizations Keiko would do was sounds imitating a Mexican ambulance. Wow. But like in Oregon, they started to do like actual like echolocation again. They had, the tank was big enough that it could start doing like normal whale things, like, you know, that they do underwater. But the problem was Keiko, they kind of describe Keiko as like, there's a quote from one of the people is like, that's not a killer whale, it's a golden retriever.
Yeah.
Like it was like bred in captivity, and like it couldn't do things like
hunt.
Well, yeah, hunt. Like it couldn't even eat live fish. Like, so that was the thing, wow. Is they were trying to get it to like eat live fish, and he would be like kind of, well, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so skipping to the end, basically, they tried to reintegrate Keiko
in Norway,
and it just never took. And Keiko couldn't get along with other whales and couldn't stop being around humans. Like, Keiko wanted to be around humans.
That's the sad part.
Yeah. And
because it was like, it was almost like they put him out, and it's like it went like looking for, like separated from the pod to go look for humans to like hang out with and get fed right. by and stuff.
Like it thought the pod were humans, not other whales. And then the way Keiko died is, it seems like very sudden.
Like pneumonia.
Yeah, they said pneumonia, but it was like basically one day he just stopped eating and he was dead the next day.
It's crazy.
Well, a hell of a way to open the podcast.
I know, sorry,
about
guys.
A movie where Keiko, fictional Keiko, or Willie in this case, rejoins his natural family in the ocean.
I know.
I think you got to talk about it with this movie.
Well, it's like, kind of like, the thing is like, it's really like people trying to replicate this movie. And it really showing like, oh, you can't just do that. That's
it.
I think
it shows up, like, I don't know. It's like, we shouldn't be, like, this movie shouldn't exist, I guess, like,
no,
like,
I think you should, the movie shouldn't exist at all.
There's a lot of gross stuff about this that is.
Well, it's painting a good message. The thing is like, I think
it is, but it's, I think it's like really naive, and
that's the problem a little
bit. You
know,
and maybe it's not their fault. Maybe they didn't know. I don't know, but like, it's complicated, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's well intentioned. I mean, it's seemingly, if there's one message you could hopefully take from this movie, is like, this shouldn't be a thing. There shouldn't be whale shows and shit
like
that.
Like, SeaWorld maybe should exist, but it should not be the whale stuff, or, you know, it should just be like rides or like exhibits. Maybe the penguins, but let them have the penguins in an Arctic enclosure or something. I don't know. But like,
it's too bad, because it's like, you love to, seeing them is a big part of like, knowing to save them. It's like, it's so complicated. Zoos are crazy. Like, it's one of those things, like, it's a very complicated thing where,
zoos are different than SeaWorld to me, but
it's still a zoo though. It's a thing. Sure. It's like, that's what it is. It just,
imagine if you flipped it. Let's talk. I don't remember which one it is, but there's like a Star Trek episode about this where aliens take the crew and basically put them like in enclosures, like a zoo.
Yeah,
inhabitants. It's like you
I think the difference is presumably with the zoo, you're getting a lot more like, it's not necessarily for profit. You don't have the Michael Ironsides, and there's no show aspect of it.
That's like, true. You're right, but it's just like, I think it's tough go because I mean, the thing is I think seeing them, and for kids that's inspiring to not be like, and to like know that these exist, you know what I mean, in real life. It's different than seeing them in a picture. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a double-edged sword.
Well,
it's really strange.
You wouldn't have maybe grown up loving the whales without this movie.
And I did, and it was a thing where it's funny, because there was just a time I probably watched it a lot, and then I didn't watch it again. It's probably been 30 years since I've seen this movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so but yeah, you're right. It is what I loved about it. And my biggest note was, and you've kind of mentioned this, Mike, is this, like, now, you know, had been spending time in Portland and being able to notice how many locations I recognize, where there was Oaks Park when he rides in on the bike. And I'm like, oh, that's in Portland. And then,
over like the Hawthorne. This is like my commute that used to be my commute, you know, back before the end times.
He's
riding his bike over like, where I'm stuck in traffic.
And then it's like, it does a good job of cutting, and there's a great matte painting showing like this Mexico aquarium, and they put like the Oregon coast in, like in a matte painting behind them,
which
and
is then, so funny at the finale, because the whole time he's like the ocean's right behind him, but then when they have to get him to the ocean, it's like a 5-hour drive.
Well, because they say they need to go somewhere inconspicuous.
And then Dave himself has been at that spot where that whale got released. You know?
I did so many Leo Point gifts at this movie. I'm like, it's the bridge. Look at the background, brother. How we were there.
Oh yeah, so it's cool. And the thing is that's it's funny because it does a really good job, I think, of like mixing these like a what's the actor that plays he's like the keeper of the park and stuff. What's his name? He's like
the bald guy.
Yeah, he's like the Native American actor, I think.
August. Is it August Schellenberg?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think he's along the river. I think near Oaks Park. It looks like it's just really cool to see. That was my favorite thing about this, watching it this time and everything, and then realizing how like weirdly slow this movie is for a kids' movie. I think, how I was so raptured by it. You know?
Let's get back to the street rat stuff.
Okay.
So he's stealing food. Jesse is stealing food. he gets caught by the police. Beforehand, him and his friend, who, by the way, we should point this out, his friend in the movie, Perry, what's the guy's name? I don't have the actor's name, but how old do you think that actor was who plays his friend?
Our main kid was like 11 or 12.
Yeah, about that range.
And the other one is like 16.
Okay, Ryan, what about you? What do you think he was?
I mean, he is smoking a cigarette on camera. Maybe he, but the thing is, I don't know, this was the 90s.
Could be a prop cigarette.
Could be a prop cigarette, but he's doing a good job with it, I would say. Like that kid when he comes walking down.
He knows how to handle his tobacco.
I don't know, is he like 19 or something? Or
20 years old.
Oh, wow. Oh, I won Price is Right rules.
You know?
Well, this
man.
this adult.
That poor kid. That poor 20-year-old.
But anyway, they're stealing food, and him and his 20-year-old friend Perry, they inadvertently break into this aquarium, the sea place.
Yeah, from the Burnside skate park where Tony Hawk is and stuff, you know.
Yeah, after they've hung out behind the wall at the Tony Hawk skate park, eating cake, they are spray painting this tank. They don't realize it's a tank at first. They start spray painting. They hear a squeaky noise, not unlike what happened a couple hours ago when Mike and Ryan walked in on me trying my water act. But they're spraying stuff on the wall, and wouldn't you know it, suddenly, and this is so funny because this is like one of the gripes I had about this movie. There are occasional moments where the production is like very cheap feeling to me. And one of which is this moment when they break into this place. There's thunder and lightning outside, but the way it's lit, it looks like a haunted house or something. Like a cheap haunted house. Like the way the light flashes.
I was totally fine with this. Like I felt
the
like
the light flashes, it illuminates Willie and he's making the squeaking sounds. And this is how Jesse is.
This is classic first act of a kids movie spooky stuff. I
can admit these are more like nitpicks, but I'm like, this is pretty cheap looking, this lightning flash.
Save your nitpicks for the treatment.
Well, I guess
Kaiko
I
got
nitpick
the
that there's
Dave.
Not really any lightning in the Pacific Northwest around here, so maybe that's like the weird thing.
I mean, we don't get lightning, and also like this kid is like riding his bike 5 minutes from downtown Portland to the
that
Oregon
that
coast.
I don't care. That's movie magic, you know. That's movie magic.
But the thunder is too far.
Cheap. It looked like one of those like haunted houses you go into where like lightning's flashing.
Well, they had that. That
I thought it was great. It was
that's
a
crazy.
Like goose,
that's a crazy scare.
Scene.
That lightning to reveal Willie and behind the
but
glass.
But admittedly, they do make Willie. But his face is right there, and he does look like a monster. Like,
it looks like they make it look like this aquarium is like a 90s Batman lair. Like
it does.
One of
it
those,
does.
The 90s. Like Bane is in,
I swear,
in the tape next by.
It looks like whatever they made in that. That ship in Star Trek 4. It looks like the inside of that, you know. And what is it? Aren't they in like a alien ship in that?
Yeah, they're on a Klingon. Yeah.
Klingon
prey
ship. It looks like the inside of a Klingon ship.
Klingon bird of prey.
Yeah, bird of prey.
A bird of prey.
A bird of prey.
Anyway, so he gets scared. The police capture him, and and this is one of the many moments in this movie where I'm like, that guy, or she's in this, he's in this, because as we should say, this movie opens with no credits. It starts with a very, very weird Free Willy logo.
That logo
that title
is weird.
Logo sucked.
That was
like
very
circled around Willy as the whalers are capturing him. It was a very weird.
That was a weird choice.
It didn't suck. I take that back. It didn't suck, but it did not fit this movie. That, like, I feel like that would be like the intro font for like Do the Right Thing or something.
No,
or
like, it, to me it felt like an intro, like a weird titles thing that would be like in a theme park like video you watch or something, like
yeah,
a shitty
cheap,
like educational like thing or something. Yeah, it was weird.
Anyway, so he gets, as I was saying, so this movie doesn't open with credits. You get Free Willy logo, but it doesn't open with credits. You don't know who is in this movie. So when Bubba shows up from Forrest Gump, I'm like, fucking hey,
Bubba.
Cop.
Wow.
He's like my Keita Wilson. I forget his name.
He's like the social worker cop kind of
thing.
He's
the social worker cop guy.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
He's like, I got you lined up with this family. Michael Madsen, who may or may not be a bank robber / murderer and some lady. But they're gonna help you out.
Yeah,
and
I think Michael Madsen
is gonna bark like a dog.
I think Michael Madsen in this movie he's in this like Oregon coast town because he's in like witness protection.
He have that vibe. He feels
he
like
just
he's
has a weird vibe.
You're right. I mean, I think he's. It's you're right. It's against type. It's a good. It's an inspired choice. I think to play like this, like nice dad trying to do better. Like maybe he had he's trying to like.
The kid's gonna
give
fix
back
him.
Somehow.
You know, he's kind of like the kid. Like the kid is fixed by Willy. You know, like
yeah.
And I think that the dad is fixed by in some ways the kid.
It's just he just plays it like he's a 40s actor, you know? It's fun. It's great, you know?
Well, to sum up the synopsis real quick. So in addition to being set with this foster family, part of his probation, so to speak, is to go back to the place that he graffitied and clean it all up. And in that process, he begins to bond with Willy. One of the things I didn't mention, since he's a street rat, he has a harmonica. Again, like a 30s street kid or something.
And he's
that's
like...
the thing that... And this is the thing that allows him to connect with Willy. I guess he makes weird sounds, and Willy's like, oh, hey, you're my friend.
Well,
and eventually it leads to him being able to train Willy, do some tricks. And one thing,
I guess, it's, yeah, because Willy is like a little, isn't taking to the doing tricks for for Tank Girl.
Well, they say he won't even look at Lori Petty, who, again, we find out Lori Petty's in this movie. I had no idea. Lori Petty's like the main trainer. He won't even look at Lori Petty or the guy who like helps run the place.
Yeah, the thing is she looks like a SeaWorld trainer. It's a good choice.
She really does. Yeah,
she's well cast.
And it's crazy looking at her run because she was like Lea Verhoeven, this, and then Tank Girl were like in a row, and then Tank Girl kind of killed her career. It feels like, you know. But anyway,
she did a lot of TV.
When he has that harmonica and he's being shown around the foster kids, he has the greatest, beautiful, most beautiful view of Astoria out his windows and stuff. And
oh,
it's
my
incredible.
God.
Almost to the point where I'm like, is that a matte painting too?
I think that's real. That looked like it was.
It's a classic like movie trope too of like fancy room with giant windows, but there's no blinds or curtains.
Yeah.
It looks incredible. And he's like sitting there like he's in jail, but he has like the most beautiful view
of all time. Such a nice room. I did gasp.
They do mention
that
in the script too. They're like,
yeah, they say
figured,
like, hey,
we'd give you the
room
better
in the
room.
House, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, it was the type of view I figured that Michael Ironside's character would have. It was that good.
It was great. Like, I mean, that the thing is that that town, like all those houses on that hill all have that view. It's kind of amazing.
Picturesque views. Yeah.
Because it looks like a real house, and you can see behind when they're pulling up to the house, you can see the damn bridge behind the
and it's
one.
So centrally located, just a bike ride away to downtown Portland from there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But anyway, this is part of the part I have a little bit of a nitpick with, because it's a step. Jesse doesn't like these people. I don't want to be with them. He keeps saying, my mom's coming back. I'm telling you, she's coming back to get me. And they keep saying, like, no one has seen or heard of your mother in 6 years.
I'm so glad, too, that the mom never comes back. I thought there was going to be like a thing where the mom comes back and it's, you know,
it's very much Ray set up. Remember, it's like, oh, my parents will be back, you know, from.
Do you think this kid is a Palpatine?
Yeah, this kid's a Palpatine.
Willy has returned.
This is kind of a little bit of a nitpick I have. So like as I said, he gets set with his family, and another thing he has to do during the day is go help clean the graffiti, and he ends up bonding with Willy. And it becomes a thing where it's like, all right, well, this kid doesn't want to be here, but the one thing he does like to do is be with this whale at this place.
He's finding some purpose, you know?
They basically are like, all right, well, let's let him do. He hasn't liked anything. All he does is sadly play his harmonica in his room.
One thing I do like about that harmonica.
Let him do this thing, and maybe he'll get a little more comfortable around us.
I have a note that like I really liked how at one point the score and the harmonica harmonized together, and it's like
it's
a well made movie. You know, it's kind of a thing.
We should say Basil Apollodorus does the score for this. The same guy who did RoboCop, he did Starship Troopers. He did Conan. He's done a ton of stuff.
With Michael Ironside, that's like a big Verhoeven kind of connection there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned this. So we mentioned this as Astoria. This is a Richard and Lauren Schuller Donner joint. And guess who one of the co-writers of this movie was?
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Kevin Walker. Who played the dad? He played Sean Astin's dad in The Goonies.
Wow! Was he an Oregon guy or something?
Oregon connections? Maybe, I don't know.
Weird.
But this is like one of the few movies he wrote, and he's got that connection to Donner. So
yeah, because I saw Donner in the credits, I was like, oh wow, they must have. Maybe they were floating around with this after Goonies or something.
I think he came up with the idea around that time.
Cool.
When they were making Goonies, which wouldn't have been too far before this. Maybe like 8 years.
Yeah,
but anyway, so this is one of my nitpicks. Getting back to this, so they're in order to you know acquaint him with everything, get him settled. The foster parents are like, all right, let's let him do this thing. Because as Michael Madsen says, like, oh, you don't have a thing. Like, what's your deal? And then eventually he's like, all right, fine, you could be a whale kid. Cool.
He tried to have a catch with him, you know.
Yeah,
he tries to have a catch, but the kid doesn't want any of it. He's like, give me an allowance and we'll talk.
What's it gonna be?
Okay. I got it. First rule is, you have to give me an allowance every week.
It's $5. What's next?
I don't know. I haven't thought of those yet.
Well, while you're thinking about it, I need you in bed every night by 10 o'clock. And up every morning in time for breakfast. And I want you in the house every night by 7. Don't go running around the neighborhood and disappearing without telling somebody, because we need to know where you are.
Okay.
I really like this stuff. I really like all the interactions with Michael Madsen and the kid, like where he's trying to bond, but also kind of trying to like meet him on his level. Like,
yeah,
I think it's really good.
But it's just interesting to me that the movie doesn't have more with that, because
I think it's got a lot. Like, there's multiple scenes of this. Like,
I don't know. I just didn't feel a connection between him and the parents, the foster parents at all.
Strong disagree. I think, you get the scene where he shows up, they like have the present for him, and he like doesn't like the present, you know, and that whole arc resolves itself, right? Where there's the fight, he opens the present, he throws the thing out. There's the scenes where like he's, trying to have a catch with him. Like, what more do you want? Like, there's.
The mom
has the whole thing where it's like the great scene where he's like learning about the folk tale about the whale.
Oh, yeah.
And then it cuts. That's a good editing moment where immediately cuts to him telling the story to the mom, and the mom's like kind of like, oh, you
the mom just says, that's nice, okay, bye. And that's it. There's no scenes of him really like interacting with the family and getting comfortable with them. It's always like, yeah, this great stuff happened with Willie. Okay, next scene.
Yeah, there's not really like something separate from the Willie stuff. Like,
they got the dinner scene. Like, I don't know what
lasted 10 seconds, Mike.
You guys are crazy. Like, what?
No.
You want,
I mean, I think it's
a version of this movie with like just them watching TV together or something.
No, I'm just saying, even a montage of just stuff like, so we know he.
You
likes
want a
Willie.
Montage with the family?
We know he like. What I'm saying is, there's no reason for the family to be get like, oh, we love him, or vice versa, because we don't get those scenes. It's always his. And again, I'm making this.
It's almost like
talked about the. Well, anyway. I just
I'm making it bigger than it is, but I'm just like, I think that's one thing the movie could have used is a little bit of him being spending time with the family, specifically not Willie. You know what I mean? Because those things don't pay off like they should for me in the end, because we didn't really see anything with them. It was always just him talking about Willie, not like, hey, we're gonna go do something.
But
well,
we just talked about the scene with like Michael Madsen, where they're like they're playing catch, right? Or he's wanting to play catch, and Michael Madsen does the thing about like. It's a great little bit where he's like,
"This was a good scene."
Hey, I'm not good at giving rules out. Why don't you tell me the rules you need? And like that's kind of a cool thing where it's he's like, "Well, I need an allowance." He's like, "Here's $5," and then it's like, "All right, well, I'm just gonna tell you like you got to be in bed by 10 and like be home by 7 and just let us know, you know, like." That has nothing to do with Willie, like that, you know.
No, yeah, and you're right. I like this scene. This is a good introduction scene. We could have used this is the setup.
There's like a middle.
They're basically
one.
Just like we got to let him come at us at his own pace. The problem, like, I like the intro, the setup for this, but we don't get the scenes that should come later when the kid is.
I think
more
that is the Willie scene. Like I think that Willie is what allows the kid to open up and allows the adults to kind of meet him. Well, on it, like the Willie is the magical thing that does bind them together.
Well, and yes, and I think they should have had a scene because you see them like at the big show. So he against one of the big things in the second act of this movie is that he's like, oh, I can train Willie. He listens to me, and eventually they have a big show. This is Michael Ironside's big thing. Like, oh, this could be big. This could make us a lot of money.
This is a funny bit.
The Foster family and the audience. The problem was, like, there was no scene up before then where the kid's, like, really excited, telling them, yeah, I'm really excited for this big show. Oh, we're here to support you. This, that, and the other thing.
I feel like we're
missing a couple scenes with the family.
I don't think you need that. I think it's... I don't know. What do you think, Ryan? I'm just yelling at Dave here, but
no. I think you're onto something. Where I mean, you're right. Like
I'm not asking for a ton. Just
no. I think there's a middle kind of beat that's missing with them. I think, and I think because the movie is to me, I was like watching. I'm like, oh, this is what this movie's about. It's not about like the whale, really. You know what I mean? It's like, and I think like almost there's some sort of middle beat that I think would give you more of an emotional payoff when they show up to help them get rid of the. Get rid of.
I agree.
Free the whale.
Get rid of Willie.
But and I think
that was the alternate title for this.
I don't necessarily know what it is, but like it seemed like that's. I feel like that. I think Dave's right. I think it's not like a big deal, but like and
it
you
doesn't
can
have to be a lot of scenes, just one or two moments.
And it's not necessarily like you can't like assume these like things, but like I think like to give that emotional like
yes
like kind of like oh man they didn't show up for him and all this stuff and they're like and he. And like
he barely acknowledges them in the crowd. He's like, hey, you know,
I don't think he's focused on Willie. Like he's putting on a show. He's not going to make a big deal.
I think the fact he acknowledges them
was like sweet.
Willie's the one that saves the cat in this movie. You know, he saves.
Yes.
yeah.
Which is like,
oh, my God, that scene was. Was something.
That was my first thought was when he like trips into that thing. I'm like, what a fucking idiot. Because you're like just like
yeah, so there's a scene earlier in the movie where the kid falls into the tank and like passes out and just falls to the bottom.
I know.
And Willie gently like raises him up. One of the funniest things in the movie is so the whale like gently raises him up out of the water and like drops him on the ledge of you know the tank, and then he kind of like gently does chest compressions on him, like he's doing like little whale CPR with his head like up and down.
He's waking him up, I guess.
One thing I thought was funny is the kid when he trips and falls into the tank, he's still like gripping his harmonica and he's still holding it as the whale frees him up.
It's kind of like. There's only two things that could happen in that situation. Like I think a whale like that would bring somebody up to the top or just eat him. You know, it would be like that kid could have been eaten by
a few times. Like, I'm surprised he did bite your arm off.
I feel like it would just like bat him around like a toy. Like,
yeah, I know, but that's scary. I was saying there's some scary stuff. I think
We should point out that I read in the trivia like they said like half of the whale shots in this movie were like animatronic. Like
they do a good job.
Good, good.
They look good.
There was a lot of shots where I was like, I really hope this is not a whale that they're like just doing this to.
Yeah, the animatronic
does look great though.
It was interesting. They said like the hardest part of nailing the animatronic was like they were studying whales and they were like there's not necessarily a ton of movement that you see with them. Oftentimes, it's just like really slow, nuanced movement, and it was kind of difficult to kind of nail that with these animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have it like jagged, look good. Like looking like Jaws or something, you know?
Yeah, like no, you know? it's just slow, like graceful movements.
They're so fat, you can't like see the stuff going on. It's all under the blubber.
Yeah, it's cool. Like that stuff's. I think the do you think the effect of him jumping the whatever that channel thing is, it works still?
let's hold on that. Okay, okay. Like, so the second act, so basically the kid ends up training the Willy. It leads up to this big show, and the movie pivots here. Like I assume that this movie was going to be the kid becomes a star attraction, and then over time realizes like, oh, you know what? We should let Willy free or whatever. Like Willy's pining for his family. But no, it pulls a Rocky. He doesn't. It's not this big triumphant thing. The bunch of people are banging on the door, freaking Willy out.
Can we talk about these kids banging on
those kids? I hate them.
Those kids. I wish Willy ate those kids.
They are like so. Everyone's banging on the tank and they're freaking Willy out, and it's crazy how much they're like. The instruction, like, the director, yeah, they're not just like, hey, they're like banging with all their
minds.
And the adults are just letting it happen. What is going on here?
I could see this happening. I could see this bullshit.
I could too.
It'd be even worse today, probably. They all have their phones out, like banging the thing. Like,
come on, do something. Yeah.
And the people up are like clapping, like, come on, do something. You know what I mean? And it's funny too, because like there's a moment where the kid, it cuts to a close up to the kid, the crowd clapping, the people like, da, da, da. I thought it was going to be a moment where the kid is just like, stop, you're making too much noise. Yeah. You're freaking him out. But no.
The sound design is really nice whenever it cuts to, because it's doing all this kind of cutting between things. Yeah. And then you get the cuts from Willie's perspective in the tank, and you really hear like how awful everything sounds inside the water.
Mm-hmm. And eventually he like bashes the window. I was like, yes, yeah. This
eat
movie should turn into
eat
Jaws
the kids.
3.
Eat the kids.
I know. Doesn't the whale hits the glass and makes it
scares
like,
all the kids, and a little leak comes out.
Yeah.
And everyone leaves. Michael Ironside's disappointed. But then his friend, character actor guy, whose name I
yeah,
don't
who
remember,
is that guy? He's like
he's
a,
been in a ton of things.
Well, they've established previously there was a thrown away line like whale's worth more dead than alive because of
million
the
dollars.
A million dollars.
He sees the leak, and then like you get this really crazy cut where it cuts to a close up of him with a stone face. He just kind of chews some popcorn. He's like, okay. And then he walks out, and I'm like, what's going on here?
That was a great character beat I did like is so the kids are all running out from the underground place like screaming, and Michael Ironside's like, oh, he sends his lackey to go investigate, and he's like running down, but he does bring his popcorn, which I thought was like really funny.
Well, he's hungry.
Oh, but that yeah, guy is Richard Ryle. Like, what's his name? Richard Ryle, and he's in Office Space. He's Tom Simowski, whatever.
Oh, yeah. He's the jump to conclusions guy.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Jump
yeah.
to success guy. Yeah, yeah.
Don't you understand?
What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Anyway, so yeah, they realize, and then the kid goes, he's pissed at Willy, like, this was our big moment. You fucked it up, Willy. I'm leaving. You ruined everything. And then he starts to hear some noise. He sees some light under in the tank. He goes, and they're like basically fucking up the tank so it'll drown. If the whale dies,
they're just trying to break the tank.
They're just trying to break the tank and to collect insurance money on Willy, because obviously the show is not a hit, so they got to recoup their costs or whatever. And this is the moment. I love it. The kid goes to the Indian guy. Randolph is his name? Character?
I think that's the actor's name. Or the character's name, yeah, is
Rudolph.
Is
Randolph.
Rudolph,
he's like,
Randolph?
They're trying to kill Willy. He goes down. He's like, are you sure you saw a character actor man down here? He's like, yeah, they're trying to kill Willy. And I love it immediately. And this is like late into the movie. He's like, we'll free Willy. And the guy immediately, he's like,
all right.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do this. Fuck this place. Let's free Willy. Yeah. I'm like, yes!
Randolph, let's free him.
What?
Let's free Willy. We could take him down the bank,
and put him back in the water.
I never liked this job anyway.
Well, they kind of set that up earlier when there's a scene where they're doing like one of the medical tests on him, and the kid realizes that Willie's in distress, so like releases the net, and Randolph sees him and is like, "Hey, I saw what you did," and you think he's gonna be like he's in trouble,
yeah,
but he clearly is approving of it, you know?
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, man, yeah, yeah." But I love it because I love how immediately the guy's just like, "Fuck it, I hate this place anyway. Let's do this." Yeah. And I was kind of surprised. Like, this is
well,
like,
what else are they going to do? Let the whale die, you know?
Well, yeah, but
like, the
but
tank
just,
is actively being drained.
It had a fun energy to it where he's like, fuck it.
Does he like grab an axe or something? Or doesn't he like do something?
But it's,
that's when he cocks his gun. We're going to free Willie.
Yeah, he should have cocked his shotgun.
He has that energy.
I never liked this job anyway.
But it was interesting because I clicked the clock on the timer on the movie, and I was like, oh, wow, there's a half an hour left in this movie at this point, at the Free Willy point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they steal Michael Madsen's five-hour drive
to the coast that was just over that matte
gotta
painting.
They
got to
go somewhere inconspicuous, Mike. They can't just go out back.
What inconspicuous? What is this?
Yeah. You
just
think,
get him
like,
out there.
Yeah, it's like it's right there. Just go around the block and then drop them off. It's like the bad guys aren't there.
They
at that
drive
moment.
So long that it's night when they start.
There's
in
like
daytime
there's like a sorcerer.
By the time they get there.
It's like sorcerer turns into, you know.
Yes, it does. It does. They have a sorcerer moment.
It does
moment.
Become sorcerer. Like they're on this like treacherous mountain drive and they try to back up. And then it's like, you know.
It literally is like the same beat. Like they have to like back like Wages of Fear.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jesse takes a machete and it's like, we'll just cut through the forest.
Wiping the sweat from their forehead.
What are you going to do with that insurance money? I'm going to get laid. Anyway, they manage to take him to another Oregon historic film location. They drop him off and we get the big moment. And this is getting back to what you guys were hinting at before with the effects. We get the big moment that even if you haven't seen Free Willy, you know there's this moment.
It's become
over,
a thing like, where it's that was like in like montages, I feel like, you know. Yeah. It's
well,
kind of a magic.
Well,
it is a magic.
This movie's most known.
This is the thing they showed at my school assembly.
It's in the poster.
Yeah, so they drop him off. He jumps. This is the action moment where they could have had a whoa, but they don't do it. The movie's reserved. They crash through the gate at the docks or whatever. They drop Willie
it's
off.
Like a marina.
The kid uses his training. He's like, "Come on, Willie, follow me!" And he jumps over the what you call it.
It's like a wave break kind of thing.
Yeah, he jumps over the wave break, and much to the chagrin of the whalers who are trying to capture him.
I almost thought those
I really hate that.
So that those guys are working for Ironside. I for some reason thought there was like an like just a coincidence that these guys were up there with nets or something.
They
like
just
that. Like
trap them.
No,
in
I think they're.
The
I think
the,
I think those the might have been the.
No, they say
whalers
he calls them.
Oh, he does.
The
okay,
beginning.
I missed that beat.
Yeah, he calls like get the wheel.
But that is kind of crazy. Like Madsen like rams that car into the water real quick. He doesn't even.
I love the Madsen. By the end of it, he's like, I'm in.
Well, everyone has fuck it energy at the end.
Well, it's very much like it's very like eco terrorist stuff. You know, it's crazy. Yes. It's like
well, and the Madsen he, like punches a guy and he's like, stay away from my boy. Like
it's done in a really effective way. The way he bursts through the gate and then he whips the car around and very quickly just drives it in violently.
And I think this is where again. One of my favorite things about this movie is Michael Madsen. I think this is where the casting of Madsen is like
this
really
is where
pays
it works.
Off. Yeah. I think it works the whole time, but I think this is where he gets to lean into the Madsen-ness, you know?
Yes. Well, the way that he backs the car into the dock or the what you call it,
it's like a marina, area. Like a boat.
The marina. He just backs that ink. He doesn't do it gracefully. He just whips it around and just boom
and
into the water.
It's a good thing too because he's kind of like. Been a little bit of like my truck this whole time. Like I love my truck, and he's like willing to just like ruin his truck for this, you know.
Yeah.
But this is a thing where like if this whole time this dad was like a nice suburban dad, this scene might have been kind of awkward. But because it's Madsen, you're like,
I'm
all
with
in.
Madsen, because I think that's one nice thing, good thing that the movie does is that the whole movie Michael Madsen is basically like trepidatious. Like at the beginning, he's just like,
it's just a lease.
we may not keep the kid. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that's like, I don't know about this. But we could have had some more scenes with the mother. Anyway, I'm just saying.
But there is a good... It's a little complex, though, because there's when they have that... When the parents are having the argument, there's kind of like... I'm paraphrasing here, but the wife is basically, to the husband, is like...
You're afraid to love.
Yeah, you're just afraid that you're going to love this kid. Like,
You know what? There is kind of a setup, too, with her, like, I'm going back to... It's like, I'm like... to school to be a journalist and stuff, and she talks about like his there's kind of like a throwaway, like one of your fights or something, one of your social programs, like that she's kind of like, you know, leaning into this kind of new like helping the, you know, like with these kids, like it's her idea to adopt, to foster this kid and stuff. Anyway, there needs to, I'm with Dave a little bit. There's one little beat missing for the emotional payoff.
There's a beat. Yeah.
I could say if there's anything to add with the parents, maybe a little bit with the mom. Maybe like pay off that journalist thing angle or something.
Well,
you know?
it's basically just like, why are they interested and why are they letting him do this and stuff? It's like almost like just planting those seeds. But I do think like it's maybe stuff that for kids wouldn't care. That's the thing. The other thing, this is a movie like where 6-year-old me was all about.
Get to the whale factory.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess if we're looking at it from that perspective, they do give us the whale factory a lot.
So the scene where really the does jump over the breaker. In my mind, that scene was way more majestic than it looked in this movie.
It's the water. It's the water effect. The CGI water.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
He jumps up.
The thing is, that close up of him is majestic, though.
That is good. And we were watching. I was anyway watching in surround sound, and like the way the sound when the water
cuts
like
out
behind
stuff,
you, that was very
and the,
well
the water
done.
Falling down over the kid is a nice touch.
That shot is the one everyone remembers. Like you never, they never will show the next cut in like those montages. Yeah. You know, it's like. You're just seeing that one shot, which is kind of an incredible piece of it. Like it's giving me the chills. That little slow motion, like 2-second edit. You know,
can I say something? We were all wrapped up in the movie. I don't think you guys looked over at me during this moment, but I did cry a little.
I cried a little, like listening to the podcast about Keiko, like hearing that, like Keiko was like. When it's like Keiko thought humans were its pod, like that's the stuff that made me cry about this.
Yeah, we didn't mention it. We skipped over this. Like there's a moment earlier in the movie. I think it's maybe after the big show goes wrong that like one of the things throughout the movie, Willie is making these weird squeaking noises and the kid's just like, what are you doing? And then he realizes, wait a minute, I'm hearing something over the thing. He climbs up the ladder and he sees a pod of like killer whales and they're like, that's your family. And that's where he gets the idea. Yeah. Okay, maybe we should free Willie.
Yeah, but the real Keiko wouldn't have jumped over that.
That's the sad thing. The realization in real life. He would have stayed where he was.
The podcast is called The Good Whale, and it's called that because apparently everyone who knew Keiko, like one of the things is they were like, Keiko's like a good boy. Like Keiko like was really eager to please and was like.
It said in Norway that he was letting kids get on its back. Like in like the when it was in the wild, like it was letting people like ride him and stuff.
Everyone
now I'm crying for another reason.
I know.
I'm just saying, like that's wild. That it was just like, here, get on my back.
It was that domesticated.
Yeah.
It just loved people. Like it loved hanging out with.
Can you imagine getting on the back of a whale in the wild? Like that's
no.
This is such an interesting contrast to, because Ryan, I remember you and I went to see that documentary Black Fish.
Yeah, we saw that in theaters.
Oh, yeah,
it's
I've
crazy.
Seen that, yeah.
Is that the name of that?
Telecom.
That was Shamu. It's a different story. Whereas you know, well, we're talking about not the movie Willie, but as you said, this was like the Keiko had grown up in domestication, captivity, whereas in Black Fish, Titicum or whatever, that was captured from the wild.
I think that is how they portray Willie in this movie.
That's how they portray Willie in this, but yeah, in reality, he was bred in captivity.
Right.
But in that movie, Black Fish, it's Free Willy's like setup. Like they capture him, bring him in, and in Black Fish, you see the real world things of bringing in a wild animal into captivity.
Right.
And it was fucked up. If you haven't seen Black Fish, it's a hard watch, but like, yeah, another prime example with Free Willy.
Yeah.
You should not keep these creatures in captivity.
Don't, you know, the whales Leave them in the ocean.
In the wide open ocean.
If there's any ocean out there in the wastes, leave the whales there.
There is an ocean, but it's not nearly as big as it once was.
It's like kind of green now, kind of something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's water, but...
It's what's kind of ironic about this is that it's a movie about like freeing these whales and they shouldn't be in captivity, but it probably made SeaWorld like into the 90s was huge. Like everyone, like including me, were just like
same. Taking the message in.
Yeah, it's like
well,
weird.
I think though it's kind of like.
Well, it's like you said, there's bad guys and good people doing
it. There's a bit of like, well, it's just a bad aquarium. Like, if only Willy was in a nice aquarium. Yeah. Or like there were nice whalers, you know, like, no, it's all bad. These things, like, just look at the size of this animal and then see any tank. Like,
it's so fucked up.
That is so fucked up. Like,
it's essentially like a bathtub to that whale.
Yeah. And that's its whole life. Like, even if it's a big tank, like, that's so crazy. Like, you know.
Especially for, like, an animal that, like, travels, like a whole damn half a world away to,
to
migrate and stuff. It's crazy.
You know, and they get into, like, blackfish, too. You know, like, the stories of, like, whales being in captivity trying to do echolocation to its pod, or just like swimming to like a corner of the tank trying to like get the message out. It's like heartbreaking, you know, like shouldn't do it.
Especially if they're kind of smart too, or they are smart. So.
I'm like, fuck SeaWorld. Like I hope it doesn't exist out there in the waste.
I remember like one of the images that really stuck for me from that Blackfish documentary. I don't know if you remember this, Ryan, but there were moments where like where the whale was just floating upside down, stationary, like looking down, just sitting there making these moaning noises, and you're like, Jesus Christ, that whale wants to kill itself.
Well, and Blackfish, the Tilikum, didn't it end up like killed someone, right? Like
it killed one of the it brought the trainer down and like kept him down at the bottom.
Yeah,
of the
like intentionally killed, like reverse free Willy.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah, this kind of a bummer reality.
It's a weird movie. It's a complicated movie. A lot of complicated feelings.
Well intentioned, but like as you said, maybe a little naive.
Yeah, it does seem like behind the scenes, a lot of the production of this movie was coming from like a good place.
Complicated,
you know, trying to understand humans, trying to understand animals and trying to understand how they feel is a messy business.
Well, can I we're talking about all this negative bummer stuff. Can I read you an excerpt from Gene Siskel's review of this movie?
Please.
He gave this a negative review. He did not like Free Willy. This is Gene, who always has the
always
best
has
takes.
The worst takes.
It's always fun though. He's always fun.
In Gene's review, he said he had a problem with the whale as a creature to be loved, since its eyes are so far apart you can't even see them.
What did I say? The worst takes.
How is this thing's not
How do you watch Free Willy and your negative takeaway is, well, no one could love a whale.
I'm sorry, Gene. You got bad takes.
I always think about the, like, there's, like, some, something they did in, like, the early 90s, Siskel and Ebert, and it was, like, actors to watch or, like, up-and-coming actors. Mm-hmm. And they pick their own. And Ebert, every pick Ebert has is, like, these massive who would
Denzel
later
Washington.
Yeah, he picks like Julia Roberts, Denzel Washington. Everyone Siskel picks is you've never heard of them. Like they I don't even know who these people are.
Well, anywho, that's Free Willy. Any final thoughts before we get into recommendations?
No, I mean it's for a kids movie of this time, and I mean I think it's a pretty well made like movie, you know, the thing.
It's
not in that kid like crappy. It doesn't really like play to the kids, if that makes sense.
I hesitate to say a grown up movie, but it has a more mature tone to it than you might think.
Yeah. And definitely. I was trying to think of other kind of like even. I mean, Stand By Me is not really... I watched that as a kid, but, like, that movie is as even more manic energy. You know, like, Goonies, for example, is, like, it's almost annoying, you know, so, especially if you're not a kid watching it. So it's, like, one of these things where I'm, like, this is... it's wild how big this movie was for how kind of slow it is and and just sort of kind of meanders along in like this kind of real grounded world and stuff. So it's kind of cool, you know.
Would you recommend?
I think so. I mean, I'm with kind of Mike a little bit that it does kind of drag a little bit, but I do think it's like, and I do think there's a missing thing, but I think I would recommend this, especially to like kids, I think, you know, and help, maybe give it to them early so they can get used to like the patience of this movie compared to like something new today kind of thing. Not to say just before their brains are totally rot, you know, kind of thing. But I don't know. I think I would. I think it holds up in some ways, even though, yeah, I think you're right. It's a naive portrayal of this stuff. But the way you love these whales. There's not a lot of examples of these. I mean, I know they made a bunch of sequels to this. And I know that in the director of Free Willy 3 was talked in my film class one time. He's a New Zealand guy.
I don't know. I was struggling with like how I feel about this. It was like, on the one hand, I think this movie should not exist. but on the other hand, like,
it's a shame that it exists. Almost.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a complicated. I don't know. I don't know if I recommend this or not. I would say like maybe.
So you're voting not present.
Yeah, I'm voting not present on the record. I would say like if you watch it, then like you have to watch Blackfish or listen to The Good Whale. Like what
to get the real reality of it all.
I think there's like some responsibility there to like understand what's going on here, but I don't know. And even though that stuff aside, there's stuff. I do still think it's a complicated recommend because there's stuff I like, but then there's stuff I don't like in the movie. I'm voting not present.
Well, Willie, don't worry because I'm going to vote yes. I recommend this movie with some complications. There may be a little bit of an asterisk here, but I think Ryan nailed it. I was surprised at the maturity of this movie. It is like a patient movie, patiently paced, good acting, some questionable effects here and there, especially the water breach at the end. That was a little
disappointing. It's really the only one, though, you know?
But it's immediately saved by that shot of Willie overhead and the water dripping down. Really well done. So I would recommend it. But before we sign off, there's one thing I want to mention. I wrote this down in my notes. I wanted to make sure we hit this. Can you guys guess the moment in the film that grossed me out the most?
The whale tongue?
No.
Is it?
Oh, because that was gross.
The part where they're like, kind of like the good fish, bad fish with the ones that had their guts ripped out or not when they're
Lordy
Petty?
I'll give you a clue. It's in the first 5-10 minutes of the
movie. Is it the cake? Like the big handfuls of cake?
There is a shot in this movie when the kids run, and there is a shot of a shoe stepping on the cake, and I almost barfed.
It wasn't then putting their whole hands into the cake to eat it?
Well, that was gross, but something about the image of like a kid running with his shoes through a cake, I was like, ew.
Huh.
It was weirdly, it elicited like a visceral reaction with me. I was like, oh God, ew.
Huh. We should explore that. Off mic.
We've discovered Dave's weakness. Anyway, thanks. I want to thank you guys for educating me. I should not bring a killer whale into captivity for promotional purposes. I've learned my lesson. I stopped delivery on that whale. It's no longer coming. We have kind of an interesting transition for our next film in February. So we get the more the good side, the good natured, fun side of killer whales with Free Willy. When we return next week, we'll be exploring the dark, evil, vengeful side of killer whales with Orca.
I've always wanted to see Orca. I'm excited.
Let's see. Let's do one more here. What do you want to? Okay.
You got Free Willy down.
Yeah, Free Willy. Oh. What about Free Willy?
You know.
Why did he? What do you want to? You know, you didn't like it. You know, I liked it.
I didn't see it. What's it about?
He's asking the questions.
Well, not now. I just asked the question.
I didn't like it because who cares about the whale? The whale isn't a good-looking enough figure on the screen to care about. I once asked Spielberg about why you like creatures in his films because of the eyes. The whale's eyes are so set far apart you can't even see them.
Now, this is Gene's criticism. Gene's criticism of Free Willy.
Did you care about Willy?
Is that you can't see both of the whale's eyes at the same time. That is rompin' stompin' film criticism.
Insightful.
I cared about the kid.
Yeah. You identified with Willy. I wonder why.
Oh, you kids. I love it when you spat.